Mark chapter number 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, help us, we pray, to be more prepared, Lord, as your people, to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in us. Lord, with meekness, help us, Lord, and with fear. Lord, help us, we pray, as we continue this little series on question and answers, Lord, to answers to people's questions. Lord, help us to just be encouraged this evening to be a witness for you. Lord, help us to, Lord, in humility, share the word of God. And Lord, help us to do so truthfully and honestly and with boldness in the Spirit of God, we pray. Help us tonight, Lord, as we sharpen, Lord, our witnessing and, Lord, prepare us for the opportunities this month ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we continue our little series on answers to questions that people ask, as I've mentioned in times past, it seems that people seem to ask the same sort of questions time and time again, whether you're going door knocking, whether you're witnessing at work, among your family. It's true, isn't it, that people ask many questions, but they often ask the same questions. And tonight we are going to look at this statement that many people make. Perhaps some have made this statement to you before, that the Christian life is too hard. It looks too hard. I don't want to become a Christian. I don't want to come to church, perhaps. I don't want to believe in Jesus because the Christian life is too hard. The way of living is too difficult. And that may be a family member. Oftentimes it's someone that knows you. They see how you live. They see the standards that you live by. And they're shocked. And so they should be. I hope they are. And, you know, if you're living the same way as a lost person, well, don't expect them to be surprised at all. But I'm sure the Lord would be surprised. But we ought to live differently. And as people see us living in a way that pleases the Lord, they might say this. I know someone has said this to me. A number of people have said this before. You know, it looks too hard. The Christian life is not for me. It's just not for me. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm going through. And someone may also say, perhaps a young person with their career, with their future in front of them, and they might say, "Look, not right now. You know, I've got other things going on in my life, and I'm not interested in the Christian life. It's too much. It's too hard." There in your notes, let's look at a few questions, a few answers to this issue. And by the way, in this day that we live in, where most churches are apostate, let's put it that way. There are many people that go into these churches, don't get saved, and then come out and just say, "Well, it was too hard. It didn't work for me. It didn't work. What they were telling me didn't work. I didn't have God's abundant riches and blessings upon my life. I had more struggles going to church. It's too hard." So we'll look at some of those answers to those questions as well. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, here's your first blank. There is too much to give up. If I'm going to become a Christian, there's too much to give up. Well, what are some truths that we can share? What are some things that we can share that might help us to give an answer and to be a blessing? How can the things of this world be more important? Well, there in your notes, we've already read Mark chapter 8, verse 36. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now, when people are saying there's too much to give up, what they're saying is that the things of this world are much more precious and important than their eternal destiny. And that's where we need to step in and bring them back down to ground and say, "Well, hang on a second. Look, you may have everything going for you right now, but it's not going to last forever. You and I will one day spend eternity somewhere, and you need to make sure in this life where you're going to go. It's either up or down, one place or the other. Heaven is sweet, hell is hot. Where are you going to go? The Bible says life is but a vapor. And you can tell them, you know, they use the illustration of a vapor, whatever you like to use. I like to use the illustration of a kettle. Have you ever seen the steam come out of a kettle that you put on the boil? Yeah, I have. Well, how long does it last for? Oh, it comes and then it goes in an instant. The Bible says that's what our life is like. We're here one minute and gone the next. Now, you may be living it up and enjoying all the things of this world, but one day it'll be gone. There's nothing more important than sorting out where you'll spend eternity. There's nothing more important. If someone says there's too much to give up, that's what they're saying. They've got some more important things to think about than God right now or Christianity. Well, there isn't anything more important. The time is at hand. All right, point number B there in your notes. When someone says there's too much to give up, you can follow on and say, well, did you realize that God gave up His all to pay for our sins? There in your notes, Romans 8 verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Come back to what God did for us. Oh, Christianity, look, I've got to give up too much. Well, did you realize that God gave His only Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine? The Bible tells us that God is a God of holiness, a God of justice. He must punish sin. And because of the greatness of His love, He sent His only begotten Son to take upon Himself the justice, the punishment due for our sins. We are guilty sinners. We deserve judgment. God is holy and innocent, and He took our punishment upon Himself. He gave up everything, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to be punished on the cross for our sins. And friend, He rose again on the third day, you can tell them. The one who gave His all for you. Now, you might say giving up, you might talk about giving up too much right now when you're thinking about God, but can I tell you that God gave His all? Amen. That's a good thought to share. He gave His all. He loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins. He gave His all. And He wants to save you today. Let me encourage you to challenge those who say, ah, Christianity is just too much. Too much for me. It's not for me. Point number C. The things we love in this world will end, will pass away. 1 John chapter 2, as you know, the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You might say, look, you're having some struggles letting some things go. You're holding on to some things, whatever they may be. It could be riches. Could be the pleasures of this world. It could be everything you think that God might take from you. But whatever you're holding on to, the Bible says, naked we came into this world, naked we will go out. We cannot take anything with us. The only thing that will last forever is your eternal soul. So are you going to hold on to something that one day will end and then find yourself in trouble because you didn't deal with eternity and God? See, everything will end. One day the experiences of this life, and you can challenge them. You know, all the experiences of this life, even if you became a multimillionaire and you experienced everything under the sun that you could ever have, will be gone in an instant, in a moment, when you enter the lake of fire and you experience what the judgment and the wrath of God is like. None of those experiences will last into eternity. All you have is an eternal place of suffering. Those that forsake Christ for this world, as one writer said, leave treasure for a trifle. They leave eternity for a moment. They leave reality for a shadow. They leave all things for nothing. For nothing. And what we have in Christ as believers will exceed all that we have ever given up. And of course, we haven't given up a thing. Amen. It's Christ that gave up His all for us. The Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 18, a wonderful promise. that no man hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in the present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. As you know, Jim Elliot said these famous words, "No man is a fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." A man who gave up his life for the sake of the gospel. Now, if your treasure is on earth, you can tell them you're going to leave it all behind. But if your treasure is on heaven, in heaven, then you're going to enjoy it for the rest of eternity.
Amen.
So isn't it better to deal and find out about where you'll spend eternity before it's too late? Are you going to leave it all behind? Are you going from it or are you going to it? Where are you going to go when you die? There's too much to give up. Well, I hope some of these thoughts might bring up some other thoughts, some other verses. I'm sure your mind is ticking over right now. For some people have asked you these questions. Notice there in your notes on the back page. And again, this is the title of our lesson. The Christian life is too hard. Some may say that, look, I know I should go to church, and look, I've been to church. I know other people that are Christians, and when I look at their lives, it just looks too hard. I can't live that way. You know, I can't do that. And obviously they've misunderstood the gospel. They've misunderstood the point. And here are some verses to encourage them and challenge them with. So your blank in your notes is the word hard. The Christian life is too hard, some might say. Well, you can quickly respond by saying, that's not true. That's a lie. The Christian life is not hard at all. The Christian life is not hard. Now, first of all, turning to Christ as Saviour is not hard. There in Matthew chapter 11, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what?
Rest
unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the word labour means to grow weary. It means to literally be beaten down. And that's what sin does to us. That's the effect of sin. It's sin that beats us down. Now, the word heavy laden pictures something that's burdened down, like a cargo ship loaded with cargo here in Trinity Bay. And it's being loaded with cargo. Imagine those loads keep adding on, and they overload that ship to the point that it starts to sink. That's what sin does to us. It's like a weight on our shoulders. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that says, "Come to me. I want to forgive you for your sins. I've paid for them all." So you're now desperation in our corrupt condition. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in his love that invites us to come to him. Though filthy and sinful we are, though completely broken down by sin. See, it's not hard to come to Christ. It's hard to bear the weight of sin. And the longer you live, my friend, the heavier that weight will be, you can tell them. You know, don't wait any longer. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites you to come to him for salvation. And it's a promise. Jesus said, if we come unto him, he will give us eternal rest and it will be finished once and for all. He will lift that load. He will cleanse you from your sins if you repent and put your faith in him. The Lord says, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Anything the Lord asks us to do as a Christian, well, of course it'll be light because we have an eternity in heaven and we have a living Saviour. That is our best friend each day, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning to Christ is not hard. God's commandments are not hard. You know, someone might say, well, the Christian life is too hard. I can't follow these rules and these things that God says. Love your neighbor. I can't do that. Well, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When you experience salvation, when you experience the gift of eternal life, following God's word isn't going to be hard. You're going to want to do that. You're going to love to do it because you love the one who saved you.
Amen.
But until you get saved, friend, of course God's commandments are hard.
Right.
And they're meant to show you, by the way, that we're all sinners. That's what God's commandments do. When the Lord said, love your neighbor, he never expected anyone unsaved to do that. It was a rebuke to the lost And it was a challenge to the saved, to love your neighbour, to have a Christ-like love. All to obey God is freedom and peace and rest in our souls. Obeying God's commandments are not hard, assuming that you have experienced His love. And to disobey God is everything to the contrary of peace and rest. Now lastly, there in your notes, or second last, the way of sin is harder. You may have been thinking of these verses already. The way of sin is harder. Proverbs 13 verse 15 says, good understanding giveth favour, but the way of transgressors is hard. And we all know that, don't we? And you can tell them, look, nothing good comes from sin. Isn't it true that you might have pleasure for a season, but then you got to deal with the sting? Exactly, sister. The sting of sin. Good, well put. The sting of sin. You know, you're going to have to live with the payment. You know, sin takes you further than you want to go and costs you more than you ever can pay. That's the sting of sin. And so you can say to that young person, look, you might be enjoying it right now, but have you seen other people go this down the same path and end up in the ditch? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what sin does. The way of sin is harder. If you don't receive Christ, the way of the transgressor is hard and you don't have eternal life. If you die right now without Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be judged for your sins and end up in an eternal place of separation called the lake of fire. The wages of sin is death. And there is no hope. There is no hope. That's why the way of sin is harder. There's no peace of mind. Here's a unique verse from Isaiah 57, verses 20 to 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, you may not want to share that verse in particular, but for us as Christians, that's where we need to realize people who aren't saved, that's what they're experiencing. They may put on a false front and dress nicely and get a new haircut and say everything is fine. They've got a nice car and a nice house, but inwardly they are like a troubled sea that cannot rest. It's impossible for them to have rest. Only the Lord, as He said, can give rest unto our souls. So if you meet someone who says, look, I'm fine, I don't need God, that is a lie. It's just a front. You need to understand as a Christian, they have a need. And you know what that need is. So use the word of God, regardless of what they say. Don't say, oh, well, one day you might need the Lord. That may be too late. Witness to them now. Challenge them now about some eternal matters. Proverbs 14 verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Someone might get distracted by having a good time, but they have to face the hangover the next day. Amen? And everything the prodigal son experienced in the ditch of his sin. Lastly, in reality, the Christian life is the only true life. Amen? Life without Christ is no life at all. The Lord said, I have come to give that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The Lord said that I'm come to give life and life more abundantly. He's the only one that can give us true life, and eternal joy in Himself. The Lord said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord gives us eternal peace. And let me encourage you to live out the joy and peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit. People will see a difference in you. And if they say, look, I can't be like you, and you can say, well, the peace that I have is not from me. I didn't stir it up. It's not because of my circumstances. It's because of one reason. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants to save you as well. Would you come to Him? The Christian life is not too hard. It's the only life that can be lived. The lost have no life. They only have an existence. An eternal, fiery existence. So let's make sure we tackle this question boldly, lovingly, with meekness and fear. But make sure You don't let people get away with it. Amen. It's a lie when people says, when people say these, make these excuses. Let's use the word of God and encourage people to consider their eternal destiny.